Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves, the official sponsor of HockeyFights.com. If you love blood, go check out some of Shane Knighty's fights. The guy gets cut so easy. He's just bleeding all over the ice, and we're happy to have him on the show today. Shane Knighty, thanks for coming, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, I got good Ukrainian leather skin. It's not too bad. It doesn't cut that easily, but it does get cut a lot, or used to.
He was the one doing the cuts. The guy was an absolute animal. I'm serious. No. If you want to go down a rabbit hole, you go check out his fights, and then you're there for an hour and a half. You got some good fights under your belt, Shane.
You know what? There's some, but most of mine came before the days of being able, the old IHL. I was a 22-year-old, and you know, you don't really, kind of when you're coming in and trying to get your craft, and I played 1 year in the American League, and then I went to the I, and I'm like, all right, well, let's see, you know, and then all of a sudden, at that time, the IHL was 97. You're fighting like all these guys that had already done it in the NHL, and now are just down in the I, and they're good players, but you're 22 and don't know that. You're like, oh, I'll take this guy on, and oh, Phil Crow, and then there's Mel Engelstad, and then there's it's just. Yeah, I think I had like 22 that year, but that was before the video days.
Who's the toughest guy you fought?
Mel Engelstad's up there.
Who? I have no idea who that is. Is that bad on me?
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
I'm kind of. You never heard of the Mangler, Mel Engelstad.
Have you heard about this guy?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, he was a. I don't know. He actually back in the day, I think he did a camp in Chicago and may have got the best of Proby.
No. Wow.
Yeah, Mel Engelstad, I'm sure a lot of your listeners, you'll get some comments. People will tell you who he was. Ty Domi, of course. My first NHL one was Ken Belanger, which he was a big, scary lefty. Not as big as you, Johnny, but a big boy. I was always out of my weight class. I was 6'2 in the program, maybe 6'1 in real life.
You fought up always. You always brought the effort, I would say. What is one fight when everybody's like, oh, Shane Knighty, you're like, check out this fight. Which is a fight you send people to?
I don't send people. There's not many. I never send anybody. The one that gets referenced the most, and I think you guys have put it out there, is the Boston, the Niskanen, and probably more because of the call by Jack Edwards. I fought Domi a few times. He got me into the Bambi legs. Hitting him was like, I might as well punch the wall behind me, but same effect.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, do you feel good about that? Like, I would have loved to be knocked out by Ty Domi because it's Ty Domi, or even like a Bob Probert, someone like that. It's like, I stood in there. You know what I mean? I took one from one of the best. There's no shame in that.
No, there isn't. It's, I hung in there with him. Yeah, a few times, a couple of times, I think we did. He was a tough guy. There's always, you know, back then, there's so many guys that could do it. Like I said, that year in the IHL, there's a lot of guys that had done it in the NHL and then were kind of winding their careers down as, you know, goal scorers playing in the IHL, and they were top players on that team. And I didn't know that. I'm like, oh, this guy, why is he acting so tough? Well, then I heard what he had done before previously. I'm like, oh, that would explain it.
How fast did you learn? It's like, maybe I should just pump the brakes a little bit.
Well, my first AHL fight, I learned right away. Was Ryan Vandenbush. I'm like, who's this little guy running around? I'm like, and finally went. And I remember I threw one right and then ate like 10 lefts. And then I went and got stitched up. And they're like, oh, that's Ryan Vandenbush. You didn't have scouting back then. You didn't know about guys unless you asked. And that was different. Like that Binghamton team had him and guys like Eric Cairns and Sylvain Blouin. There was like five or six of them. I just figured he was the smallest.
And then he throws 15 punches before you get your first one off, and it's over.
No, I got one off, and that was it.
Was he a lefty? I think he was.
Yeah.
He was tough. Go to him when he was in Chicago. He's got some of the best fights you've ever seen. Unbelievable. But anyways, that's your former life now. You're working for the Vegas Golden Knights. How much fun are you having out there just being with this team?
Yeah, you know what? It's been incredible. I had a great gig working for the Winnipeg Jets too before, after I retired from playing. And it was just the opportunity. Sometimes you get a gut feeling, and I just figured, okay, I figured hockey would work here in the desert in Vegas, the entertainment capital, not my wildest dreams that I think it would do this quickly, this fastly, this, you know, the passion they have, not only for the team, but for the sport now is kind of what I expected in my wildest dreams. And it's incredible to be part of the organization and the way our sport, guys, is growing. It's just at all levels. And, you know, I wanted to be part of it, not only for the NHL, but see the grassroots and see our game grow down here. And it has beyond anything I could have imagined.
Do the guys get noticed on the strip? Like, do you go downtown that often? Or are you kind of off the strip? What is it like? Are there just like tourists every
night? I'm down there. Yeah. No, there's not down on the strip tourists, but it is a town and it's a small city, like around 2.5 million, but people recognize the players. You get recognized a lot. It's all locals, the majority of the fans. You get your tourists in, especially now it's starting to come back, or it is back. And you can on the strip at times, but, you know, there's so many other things outside of the strip that, you know, I didn't know about until I moved here. But it's a terrific area. Summerlin, where we live, Henderson, where they got the new American Hockey League team. Just great people, passionate hockey fans. The sports are growing here. We seem to be getting a new pro team of some sort just about every month.
Yeah. Are you guys worried that the Raiders are going to come in and kind of steal some of the thunder from you guys?
No. And the NFL is a beast. And, you know, the Vegas Raiders, but the best slogan I think the Golden Knights could have did was the Vegas Born. And, you know, we all know what happened. The organization, that team, this team, the Golden Knights and this city at that time was just, it's incredible. They need each other at the same time and magical year one. And that kind of just formed a bond that's unbreakable, and the Vegas Born, and it's their team. Whereas the Raiders, I think a lot of people look at more as a transplant. It's the NFL, so everybody's excited about it. You know, it's a lot less games. It's a different beast, a different animal, but I'm excited. We've yet to have fans in Allegiant Stadium. So
yeah, it's going to be cool.
Garth Brooks opening up July 10th. I'll be there.
Ah, I like that. So now fast forward 4 years, you guys have been successful. And now here we are. It's year four, right? If I'm correct.
And you're correct.
Two games away from the Stanley Cup Finals. What's going on there? Why are you guys down 3-2 to a Montreal Canadiens team that, you know, they have a fantastic goaltender. They work hard, but on paper, Vegas out talents them, out skills them top to bottom. What's going on? How's the mood? Why are we down 3-2 to the Montreal Canadiens right now?
Worked. They've been outworked to this point. It's about imposing a game plan. It's a different animal than the regular season. There has to be a bigger will and a bigger want. And right now the Montreal Canadiens are carrying that. Talent aside, it's the team beats talent, and that's what's happening right now. If you bring that work ethic and that teamwork with the talent, they should win. I've said it along. If they bring their game, I believe they can win the series still. But that's on the players. You can look at the regular season and, you know, you get time. You can get away with trying to be cute at times. But Montreal is playing a man's hard playoff game. And I think we've all underestimated them. You look at the team played. Vegas kind of fits into that high-powered offense. You saw the Leafs. They got the Austin Matthews, Nealick, everything. Marner, you know, Tavares was out, but sure, still a high-powered offense, shot, able to beat them. Winnipeg Jets, I think one of the most dynamic offensive teams. Of course, lost Scheifele, but still, Ehlers, Kyle Connor, Blake Wheeler.
Yeah.
So, you know, on and on, and they swept them. So I think we discounted them a bit. I think a lot of people did. But I've watched them play, and they buy into their system. They don't try to say, hey, we're a different team or we need to do this. Force you to make mistakes. They play those big, heavy D-man. You've got to have a real will to go in that area with guys Shea Weber and Ben Chiarot, Joel Edmondson, Jeff Petrie. And I think they're all 6'3 and up.
Yeah.
And you've got it. So that Vegas has the ability.
Let me ask you this. Why have they not dressed Ryan Reeves, your biggest, baddest, most physical guy who can get in on those D-men and punish them? Why have they not dressed him? He's been on the show a few times, pretty good friend of the show. What's the reasoning behind that?
Because he's not going to score goals. They're trying to find offense. Intimidation is And, you know, I struggle with this because I think Ryan Reeves can be an effective player for them. The hand, I think, you know, there's some mistakes and some hands handling the puck area that hasn't been there. And Keegan Kolesar has emerged on the scene, who's a big body, who's got a little more offense to his game. Really, you know, maybe the most improved player I saw this year in all elements, more speed. He can get in against this Montreal team. But all that said, yeah, Ryan Reeves is effective and he can be, you know, if they get going. But if Ryan Reeves is what we're going to sit here and discuss as the difference maker, they don't have a chance.
Exactly. Do you think they got a little too much big for their britches? Everybody talked about Colorado Vegas. This is the big series. And they geared up for that and they played well. They dominated Colorado from the start to the finish. And then do you think there's just been a letdown? It's like, okay, we're supposed to walk through this team and it just hasn't gone their way. I would think they would be tested because they've been here before. It's just strange to me to have this kind of a letdown.
Oh, yeah, it's a letdown that they're not up in the series. They're not out yet. I think the letdown will happen if they are out. They talked about how they're resilient. And again, careful. It was so unknown this year, and everybody just disparaged the North as being this weak division and Colorado. It's a different game, Colorado to Montreal. I think Montreal is more similar to what they saw against the Minnesota Wild, which everybody thought they should have walked through that series. But that's the difference in teams. I've heard this from multiple coaches now, is getting smaller and smaller, so minuscule. How close. And I think we're seeing it, how long every series is. Like Tampa Bay Lightning, after that 8-0 win, didn't we think, well, it's over? No, it's not. And that speaks to the parity in the league right now and how close it is to have that edge over an opponent. So, but all that said, have they gotten too big? I don't know. I think they maybe might have thought it was easier than it is. I certainly hope not. I think they got a real good veteran group in the Golden Knights room. But right now, you know, they've been able to get by other games with a little bit of their talents or a break here and there, but Montreal has not broken form at all. And that's where you got to really credit them.
So speaking of like the Vegas Golden Knights, like their top guys, like Stone and Pacioretty, are getting a lot of spotlight right now. Like how has Montreal neutralized them so well? And what do they need to do to get their game going?
Well, they've forced them to make simple plays and they don't want to. I think the neutral zone, they've taken it away. They've taken away their speed. They've made it hard to get to the inside ice in the offensive zone. So they've done their game plan. I just don't think the Golden Knights have done enough there. It's too much one and done. They're known as a resilient forecheck team. But I talked to a former guy I played with, who's now an assistant coach with another team in the NHL, and he was at the game. He said, their forecheck's non-existent. He says it's one and done. One man, he says there's no F2. So that's coming from someone who analyzes it. So they need to get back to their game. They're just off it. And it's been thrown off by the play of Montreal. You mentioned Mark Stone. They're not – depth can get you so far, but you need your top guys. And, yes, pressure comes with the paycheck. That's part of it. And you can name – it's not one or two guys. It's – So I'll go, Stone, Stevenson, Pacioretty, Marchessault, Carlson, Smith. That's their top six. Let's throw Alex Tuck in there too. So seven of your forwards, your top forwards that have been quite, you know, Pacioretty got a goal last game, but it's they've all been just quiet this series. And if they want to get past the Canadians, they need those guys to lead the way offensively here tonight and then hopefully into game seven.
Yeah, they have so much skill, and gosh, their best player to me has been Wah. I like him; he plays good. But they have it. They're a good team. They tied for the President's Trophy lead this year. It's just they're so good. Let's get to the elephant in the room because it's what everybody's talking about. Very rarely in this time of the year do you see goaltender change, let alone back and forth flip flop. I was shocked when he put Fleury back in for game five. Maybe I was the only one. Everybody thought, you know, Fleury made sense. I thought you go with Lehner. He played great in game four. Fleury played great in 1, 2, 3. Not great, but he played good. Obviously, Lehner's got to go in six, I would think. What do you think? This has been a distraction, or is DeBoer just kind of playing the, I don't know what's going on. I'm so confused. Can you just, I don't know, give me your insight on this situation.
He has two number one goalies. They used it all year. When they're healthy, they did a straight rotation. They had the most wins in the NHL this year with 40. And if it's a distraction, well, they got the wrong players. You know, I don't think it's a distraction at all. If guys can't deal with it, they have trust in both these guys. I think, you know, was it a bold move? Perhaps, but it's maybe not as bold as we think. Pete DeBoer is a coach that isn't afraid to make the tough decision. And I think he has a real good gauge on his guys when it's, you know, time to rest. And let's remember, you have two goalies. And I think, you know, part of his thinking, you know, at that point was we're going to be making three long plane trips back for game five, back for, well, he knew they're making two back for game six, now hoping another one for game seven. It's pretty, you know, hoping in a little bit advantageous to have fresh goaltenders that you trust that can kind of rotate through that. And, you know, with a little bit of rest in there where the other guy has it. And I think both goaltenders are there, but it goes to what I said earlier. The goaltending has not been a problem.
No.
They need goals.
That hasn't been the problem. If you watch game five, gosh, Montreal had what? 27 shots. Half of those were grade A chances. Like they were really good chances. Every time they enter the zone, it's just like heads up. And then Vegas, all their shots are from a perimeter. What do they got to do? Like what's the answer for Vegas to switch the script? Because the talent's there. You mentioned work ethic. How do they change up? Do they pull back? And you know what I've noticed this series, Shane? I would say more than half of Montreal goals have come on breakaways or partial breakaways. Why are they jumping behind the defenseman so easily? What's going on? Are they not game planning this? Do they not say, hold on, every time, you know, there's a 50-50 puck, the forwards are blowing the zone, maybe we should pull someone back. Are they being too aggressive? I don't know. You're a D-man. You know the position.
A couple of those times, the D-man have got caught outside the dots. It's been some bad plays by them. And yeah, sometimes you get caught, but as your partner, you've got to shift the middle. One guy I can think of twice that has been outside the dots on those breakaways. He was outside when Cole Caulfield had that good chance in game five, huge save by Leonard. And to go back, why are they getting chance? Because I think the puck decisions, they're trying to force plays. And that's what happens when you're not scoring. And you and I can't reference it. We weren't goal scorers, but guys who are used to it in offense, and you get a little frustrated, then you try to force it. And I think they've got to take a step back, simplify. You know, to get puck possession, you have to make good puck decisions. And I think through the neutral zone, Montreal's forced them into turnovers, and that's forced them into not getting into their forecheck. So they've got to have more speed in their game. They've got to put pucks in areas. They've got a fast team. They've got a big team. But if you don't put it in an area for recovery, if you're trying to go, you know, east-west, or you're trying to make a little backhand pass here and there, it's not going to work against the Canadiens, because they do. They wait for the turnovers, and they've got some breakaway speed. We saw Paul Byron. You've seen Josh Anderson get around. You've seen Cole Caulfield. And they're a smart team that has awareness and is able to real feed off those type of plays. So that's off either a soft forecheck, a bad turnover, and those are areas where Vegas needs to be better.
So tonight, it's game six.
I believe so.
Do or die for Vegas. I got a couple questions. Who are they going to start in net? And what kind of start can we expect? What kind of team can we expect? I know you're not, you know, into making predictions. You don't have a ball or whatever, or eight ball, or whatever they call it. What do you predict tonight? Obviously, you're going to call a Vegas win. You're hoping for a Vegas win. Who's going to start? What kind of team are we going to see?
I think we're going to see Robin Leonard. I just think Pete DeBoer is going to stick with that now. Leonard played terrific there, in game four. Travel, he, to me, would be the guy. I've guessed wrong on this lot in the last year, but that's my guess. And what type of game? Oh, man, usually I'd be able to answer this, but it's been – I'll say what type of game I hope I see. So I hope I see the Golden Knights that I watched throughout this year, a team that's aggressive, that gets on the attack, that takes the play to the opposition, that doesn't sit back and wait for themselves to score a goal before they get going. They can't wait tonight. They've got to initiate right from the beginning and impose their game plan on the Canadiens.
So Isles Tampa also has a game seven tomorrow night. I don't know how close you've been keeping up with that series and who do you like for game seven?
I watch both. I still like Tampa. I do. I think the Islanders are scrappy, and well, let's see what happens with Kucherov first and foremost. That's a pretty big, you know, loss, significant, if he's not back. But yeah, Tampa's been good in their building stuff. I had Barry Trotz as a coach. I'm a big fan of that man and that him as a coach overall. He's really good, but I also like John Cooper. It's two good coaches, two good teams. It's close, but I just, you know, if Kucherov's healthy and he's back in, I think it's Tampa. I still think it might be Braden Points. We don't talk about him enough. What he's doing is just off the charts. 9 goals in the last 9, like 9 game goal streak. That's a season for some of us. That's a career, sorry, for some of us.
That's a double career for some of us.
That's true. But yeah, Tampa's just, they're the type of team that I think can regroup at home. And we saw what they did the last time on home ice.
Shay, one more question for me. So we just had the 10-year anniversary of the Bruins winning the Stanley Cup in 2011. Obviously, you were a big part of that team and that defense. Like, do you still keep in touch with those guys? And what do you think when you look back on that time?
Oh, it's so good to look back on that time. And, yeah, you keep in touch with a bunch of them. I'm actually trying. There's a few I don't have contacts and trying to get that talk. We'll see if I can get everybody's contacts, see if we can get together here. Maybe in my backyard, there's a couple things to do here to celebrate. But that said, you know, such fond memories of those guys. And you know, everybody saw the Lucic video. I don't know who sent it out because it came to all of us on text first, just more personalized then. But just a great group. I think back to how hard the ups and downs. Like, we had 3 game sevens that series. We were down 0-2 into the series. First series, we're down 0-2. Us first two to Montreal. In Boston, we were more than happy to get out of Boston, and they were not happy because we were the top seed. Montreal's the bottom. How dare you lose first two at home, and then down 0-2, losing the first two in the final to Vancouver. So the one thing I look back and remember is a special group of guys, special character, and a belief you have to have not only one another, but in the group that you're going to get the job done. And it was rock solid.
Do the guys on Vegas know who you are at all? Or they just think you're a TV guy?
I think some of them do, yeah. I'm not worried if they don't, but I'd like to believe they kind of do.
It helps when you wear your Stanley Cup ring and you walk into the room like this. Oh, what's this on my finger? Oh, it's my Stanley Cup ring. Well, let me tell you about it.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I pulled it out.
That's the ring a lie.
The ring matters.
You are in Vegas, Nides. Come on. So do you see any comparison between that Boston team who had so much leadership? You guys were stacked from top to bottom with this Vegas team. Is there any kind of comparables between the two?
Yeah, it's tough for me to do that. I'm not in the room. Unless you're in that room and know the guys, and with how crazy the last year, usually part of my job is going down there and talk. I haven't talked to these players since we shut down in March of 2020. So it's, I really can't give a well-educated comment on that. I think they're more talented than maybe what we had in Boston. But it's not always talent. Everybody thought Vancouver was more talented. They were more talented than us in the final, but it takes more than that at this time of the year.
I think what's that phrase, and it's perfect for this time of year because everybody's talented. It's will, not skill, at this point.
Yeah.
And hopefully Vegas. Gosh, I pick them. I would love to see a Vegas Tampa Bay final. I think that's the sexy final. Everybody would love to see that. I think they're going to take it tonight. It's going to be fun. We're going to have 2 game sevens. It's going to be great. Maybe we'll get you back on the show when it's the Stanley Cup Finals. Maybe I'll have another. Will you get a Stanley Cup ring if they win the cup?
I don't know. I don't have
Shane. Come on, you know.
Well, usually they do. Yeah, usually they give broadcasters, staff, everybody around the team. It's a different level, but certainly, yeah, it'd be awesome. I hope they win. But yeah, I want to see this go 7. Come back here to Vegas, and any time I can go to that arena for another game, I'm more than happy.
Describe the parade that they're going to get if they do win the cup in Vegas. Oh, nuts!
I can't talk about that. It would be, well, just think about it. You know where it's going to happen.
Right down the street.
I don't think it's one of those things you could ever describe. It's one of those things you just got to take part in.
Have the casinos embraced them? Like, do they have Vegas stuff all over the place? Do they have like the slot machines with Mark Stone's
face on them? Well, I don't know about the slot machines, but it's been like that for a year. And I remember year one, you know, all of a sudden you're walking in Caesars and, you know, the souvenirs and just the togas or whatever. They've got Golden Knights gear. Every hotel souvenir shop has Golden Knights gear. And they're, you know, you go to gas stations, you know, they got players. It's a Golden Knights city. It really is. And it's been embraced and it's everywhere.
Who's the guy that they love the most? Is it Reeves? Because I know he's big as a Fleury. Who's the guy in town, like the number one face of the franchise?
I think Reeves is your favorite player, the way you're talking.
I like Revo. I really do.
Oh, he's a great guy. No, Marc-Andre Fleury is – he's the face of the franchise. He's the man.
All right, one last one. It's a tough one. Who are they going to give up to go to Seattle? Who's the guy that they let go?
They don't give anybody up.
Nobody.
That's part of the last that was part
of the last. Oh, that's right. That was a trick question and you passed. No,
aren't you the one who went to college out of the two of us?
Shane, that was a trick question. I already knew the answer. Oh, I thought I was trying to trick you and you passed with flying colors. Well, anyways, my man, always good catching up. You look great. You're doing good. I'm glad you're killing it out in Vegas. Hopefully they can get to the cup finals and we can see you a little more. But anyways, Shane Knighty, everybody, the sheriff that they used to call him, Stanley Cup champion. Just, he looks better than he ever did. Thanks for coming on, Shane.
Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody, we'll talk to you. I guess tomorrow we'll recap all the games. Hopefully we got a game seven to talk about. Two game sevens to talk about. But anyways, thanks for listening, everybody. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.